say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
The book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse number 24. Okay, James challenges us, and I'll just use this as a lead-in. James challenges us in the book of James, chapter 1, to examine our mouth, to check to see what we're saying. He says, if any man among you seems, if he seemeth to be religious, if any man among you seem to be religious, and yet he does not bridle or put a control, put some controls on his tongue, if you don't check up your mouth, if you don't bridle your tongue, James says about him, and James is a man, he's a straight shooter. He said, this man's religion is vain. If you don't, if you say you're a born again believer, and you don't check up your mouth, if you don't get control of that thing, if you don't make an effort to try to bridle that, then it's evidence that your religion is of no value. Now that's a powerful, powerful statement, and the mouth is it is a big indicator, and I understand that. We can go, well, your wallet and how you give, what type of a giving person or not giving person is evidence of whether you love Jesus Christ. Okay, well, fine. Then your mouth is one of the evidences as to whether you're really a believer or not. And this is a challenge. It's challenging. And this is why I think the devil works so hard to try to keep us as his people out of God's word in regard to this issue, because it is so personally challenging. Chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, verse number 24, you've got to make a choice, and I have to make a choice. I'm just telling you personally, I have to work on this all the time because everything we think shouldn't be said. And what bothers me sometimes is not what I said, it's what I didn't say that still was in my heart. Now, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And I'm just telling you that this issue of control over our tongue, it really, to a great degree, control over our tongue is a God issue. Now, listen to me, all right? Because I'm just telling you, this is one of my things, okay? Everybody's got their thing, and some of you don't have the thing of the mouth, but this is one of the things I've had to work on since I was a kid, because I'm kind of a mouthy, I could be a mouthy little opinionated kid, and now I could be a very mouthy opinionated adult. And the older I've gotten and the more I've gotten into the Word of God, I realized, man, I've got to put the brakes on this, on my mouth. And I think this is why I emphasize this so much in our home, is because I know what I've struggled with over the years. And I think that's probably why in our family is such a big issue to me that, and you've heard me say it on multiple occasions, that even at our home, I just don't view it as a place where we can just let anything fly out of our mouths. I'm not talking about cussing, but talking about people and saying things. I just don't think that that's appropriate. And here's why, because what's in the well comes up in the bucket. It's an old statement. It's been around for years and years and years. I've used it a ton of times. I teach it to every one of our staff guys that comes through here. I emphasize it over and over again. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. And when we have bitter envy in our hearts, and when we hate people, it comes out the mouth. And in one sense, you know, it's almost like dress code. You guys have been around this church any length of time at all. When was the last time you heard me nag our teenage girls about dress code? Just off the cuff. When was the last time? A few years ago. Now, and here's why I don't get on that hobby horse much, and a lot of Baptist preachers do. Because dress code is a pretty accurate reflection as to where a kid is. Now, what happens in a lot of ultra-conservative churches is that we can teach our kids how to dress like little nuns, but in their hearts, they're wild things. Now, for me, I don't ride the dress code thing real hard because I use that as a test, kind of, to see if I don't ride them about their clothing, what will they wear? What will your daughter go put on if she knew and wear to school or wear out in public if you didn't nag her about it? See, because we all, most of us have lived in conservative enough circles that we know that there's a bunch of little Christian girls that have one thing on when they go out on the bus to get to go to school, and they got something else that they put on there. I even heard about a preacher's daughter that she wears pants. Pants are unacceptable at the church that she goes to, but she wears pants to work. But then she has a skirt that she keeps at work just in case her dad, who's the preacher, shows up at work, that she will change because she wants to fall. See, listen, that's not cool. And so I'm just telling you, there's a reason why we do the things around here that we do. I'm not for anything goes dress code with our teenage girls, but you're not going to hear me on them really hard because I pay attention. And if you watch, generally, how a young girl dresses is a good reflection of what's going on inside of her heart. Is she fishing or is she modest? Now think about it. I'm not saying don't put standards on your kids on dress code. I'm just saying that some of those things are telling tales. Now listen, our mouth is the same way. Our mouth is the same way. What we say when nobody else is listening, what we feel free to say behind closed doors in our comfort zone says a lot. Says a lot about us. How free we feel to say unrestrained whatever we want to say behind closed doors at the house about whoever and whatever is a pretty accurate picture of what's going on in our heart. Now, I know maybe no other preacher has ever showed that to you or said that to you before, and maybe you've heard it a bunch of times. I don't think that I've emphasized that around here as maybe as much as I should, but what are your kids saying when you're aggravated at home, and how do you talk about other believers? What do you say about other people you go to church with or family members, or what do you say about your boss at work, or what do you say about God or the Bible or God's law, God's word? Because behind the scenes, and we all, listen, we're Baptists. Almost all of us in here would consider themselves Baptists, and we know how to dress. And we know what's appropriate, and we teach what's appropriate around here all the time. And so publicly, we can have it together. So I'm really not that concerned so much about how you handle yourself publicly to this point. I want to know what you say when you're in a position where you feel like you can say whatever you want to say, and nobody else is going to know. Now, that's a thought, isn't it? Because we Baptists, we can become professionals at putting on the show publicly, but it doesn't mean that we got it together in our hearts. And what's in our hearts will come up in the bucket if you go deep enough. I was talking to a fella. They ran out of fuel for their house. and somebody offered to give them, they could go siphon some fuel out of another tank. And I said, you just got to make sure that you don't run that siphon tube all the way to the bottom. And he said, yeah. I said, yeah, because why? Because the sediment's in the bottom. And so, but what I really want to know this morning, and I think what we need to examine about ourselves is, what are the sediments that are in our tank? Because on the surface, we can get some clean water. But I want to know what's settled out in the bottom of our barrel. Okay, so then we pick this up, and this thing is unbelievably challenging. And it's unbelievably challenging to me. And I'm just telling you, I really work on this. This is an area that's convicting to me, which is good that it's actually convicting, I think, to us, if it is convicting to us, that we're actually concerned about that kind of a thing, because when we're lost, we don't think about it. You know, we may, when we're lost people, we may think, I better get control of my mouth at school so I don't get in trouble for being mouthy. I better get in control of my mouth at work so I don't say something I shouldn't say and get fired. But when lost people don't think much about what they say at home when the doors are shut, and pretty much they let it fly. But Christians, we should not be that way. So this is why Proverbs 4:24, if you got one of these papers, if not, turn in your Bible, but it says, put away, that in first choice, doesn't it? Put away from thee a froward. Froward means, it's close to meaning perverse, but it means not willing to yield to what is required. Not willing, it's ungovernable. Put away from thee the unyielding, ungovernable mouth. The froward mouth. And you might say, well, I just can't help it. When I think it, I've got to say it. Put away from thee the ungovernable, unyielding mouth. And what we're talking about, what the governor is, and I had a motorcycle when I was a kid, and I didn't like that motorcycle for this one reason. I liked it, but I didn't like it for this reason, because Dad would not let me take the governor off. Because we lived in town, and it had this little, it looked like an icy cup lid. You know what I'm talking about? And that icy cup on the end of the exhaust, and it had a smaller hole, and what it did is it made the motorcycle not go as fast because it didn't let the exhaust out as fast as it could. I want to take that governor off of there and wow, you know. And some Christians are like that. Ungoverned mouth. Just whatever comes out of that engine, whatever exhaust is flying, you're going to let it out. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. Put away from thee the ungovernable, unyielding mouth, the froward mouth, and perverse. That means obstinate and wrong. It means turned aside, distorted from what is right. Put that perverse lips. How far? Far, far. Put it far from thee. And it's a choice that we make. But the only reason that you would make that choice is because you want to please God. Because other than that, there's not really another probably good reason why somebody in their home, in the privacy of the moment, why they would govern what they say. And the only thing that makes us, checks us up is we know that God said at the judgment that every idle word, he would bring every idle word. And when we start thinking in that context and we start going, you know, I'm going to stand before God one day and I got enough stuff that I've got to give an account for already that I've done. I don't need to add to this list of stuff that God is going to bring up to me at the judgment. And I want to please God with my life, and I don't want to, and I just want to get this thing in line. And so you got to put a governor on the... And so... You know, you put the governor on the lips, and then what we need to be wondering is we need to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. And then we just need to be wondering inside ourselves, why am I even thinking that thing that I knew I shouldn't let out of my mouth? Why, if I know I shouldn't say it, why am I letting myself continually think on and dwell on that? And then it comes to really dealing with the issues of the heart. And sometimes it's a matter of putting the brakes on the lips while your mind and your heart have a chance to really consider what you're about to say. And actually, Proverbs 16:23, that's back a few pages. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Teaches his mouth what? Better not say that. That's okay to say. But of wise people, our heart teaches our mouth. That's permissible. That's not permissible. And it gets a hold of that. And there's been a lot of times in my life that I've said things and I thought, oh, I should have just held that thing for another 5 seconds and my heart would have told me, don't. Oh, Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge, he does what? Right. He spares words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. In fact, so much so is this issue of keeping our mouth shut when it ought to be shut, that chapter 17, verse 28, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. It doesn't make him wise, but even a fool who can keep his mouth shut is considered to be a wise man. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed, he's considered to be a man of understanding. Because we understand that in culture. We understand that as a truth in life, that he that has knowledge, he spares his words. And, you know, the truth is that one of the ways that we know culturally and biblically that when somebody doesn't know what they're talking about is they're a blabbermouth. And when the mouth is continually in gear, your ears shut off, don't they? Because it's like, well, you know, you're just rattling. You know, maybe if you talk about it for 20 or 30 minutes, maybe you'll hit on something right there. But if you were wiser, you could just hit it and move on. I think about that while I'm preaching too, okay? I also think, Proverbs 21, verse 23, that, you know, there are times that I realize that I, in preaching, that I just stepped over the line too far, or I probably should have said that another way. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, he keepeth his soul from troubles. And you can stay out of a lot of trouble in life if you learn to put the mouth in neutral, all right, or park. But if we don't, if we just feel free to let it fly on a regular basis, it causes problems. For us. And it doesn't just cause problems for you in your life, it causes problems in your soul. You keep yourself out of trouble. If you can put the mouth in neutral, put the brake on until your heart has a chance to teach your mouth what's appropriate. And some people say, well, preacher, you know, I live with a bunch of hard people, hard-headed people. And I have to respond the way I do with my mouth to get them persuaded on a particular issue. And I hate to even talk about this, but, you know, there's lots of ways to leverage to get what you want. And one of those ways that men and women can leverage to get what they want is nagging or yelling. And, you know, I got to yell. You people, if you're going to do what's right, if we're going to do the right thing around here, I got to yell at you. And I just remember at times when I was foolish in my own life that was a tactic that I used, is you didn't know what else to do except yell. And I'll just tell you that yelling is not how you get someone to change. In fact, the yelling is normally counterproductive. And that's why Proverbs 25, verse number 15, and we've talked about this before, how do you persuade a prince? How do you persuade someone when you know they're in the wrong? How do you choose to operate to get that situation turned around to where it's going right. Because sometimes we're right about what we're saying. We're just so totally wrong about the way that we handle it and how we put it on the table that we've ruined it. You know, it's like when you've sat down for supper, and you guys probably have never done this, but in our family, on a couple of occasions over the years, we had a big blow up right about time to eat supper or dinner. And I'll just be honest with you, that food did not taste very good after a big explosion. It just made it taste not good when you're mad in your heart. And so how do we handle this? By long forbearing. Proverbs 25:15 goes like this: for by long forbearing, just wait, just listen. There's a difference between permitting something and in a sense tolerating something. I'll put up with a lot of stuff that I don't like very well for a while, and sometimes for a long while, until God moves in the situation or until someone is willing to yield. I explain it to our young preacher guys like this. I'm like, look, as a preacher, many times, you know, the key to being successful in ministry is you got to stay longer than your problems are. Okay? So, you know, in life, we all have problems, okay? And all you got to do is you just got to outlast the problem. And so to do that, you have to be forbearing. God is forbearing with us. He puts up with a lot of stuff for a long time from us until he gets the ultimate result that he's after, and that is repentance toward him, and so we get saved. And so the model is that God forbears. And listen, by a soft tongue, not a harsh tongue, a soft tongue breaks the bone. So how do we persuade people that are locked into their position? Well, it might take a while. It might take quite a while. You might, at your workplace, you might have to put up with a situation that you don't like with for months. You don't like it for, it might be 2 or 3 years or 4 years. But by your soft words and your forbearing, you're not, you know, you're holding back a little bit, then you can ultimately win someone over. You can break the bones. Listen, you can break the bones by soft words and forbearing by being patient with people is the best approach. Now, I know that's not the way we do most of the time because we just want to blow up and have a big atomic explosion at the house or at work or whatever, and as if then we'll just pick up the pieces where they fall, or, you know, fall where they may. There's just not wisdom there. It's just not wisdom to do that. I've done that. Proverbs 26:24, he that hates, if you hate people, you dissemble with your lips. Dissemble means that you hide under a false appearance or you disguise. And there's a lot of people that are truly, they're haters in their heart, but they hide it. And a flattering mouth works ruin. To flatter means to please a person by applause. I tell you what Webster said in his dictionary. He said, we flatter a woman when we praise her children. And to flatter is to please a person by applause or by a favorable notice. By respectful attention, sometimes we flatter people, or by anything that exalts him in his own estimation. And flattery is not something that God's people are supposed to be engaged in. In fact, flattery is dangerous because Proverbs 29:5 is a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And if someone is unusually complimentary to you, if they're overly, you're awesome, you can just rest assured they're after something. You may not know that day what they're after, but they're after something. If people are unusually complimentary, trying to make you feel good about yourself, they're spreading a net for your feet. And God warned us about that. That's why people that make it into my inner circle, and we all have our, like, you know, inner circle, and I got a big, you know, outer circle. I got a lot of people in my big outer circle, but people that make it to my inner circle are not yes men. They are men that if you ask them, and a lot of times you got to ask them, because wise people spare their words, whether they're men or women. And, you know, counsel on the heart of man is like deep waters. Sometimes you got to draw it out. So a lot of times really good, high-quality people are not going to be the first people to come to you and tell you you're messing up. And so, but if you surround yourself with wise people and you allow them to be close enough and you catch them, because most really wise people are not going to try to embarrass you publicly and publicly humiliate you, right? So you get your group of people that are have wisdom, and you catch them one-on-one, and you say, look, nobody else is around, and I just want your honest opinion about this situation. And if you ask them for it, people that will tell you. That's the kind of folks that you want. Faith for the wounds of a friend. See, the problem is that in life, most of the time, we want people around us that are just going to agree with us. And I'm telling you, I don't operate by those principles. I don't want a bunch of yes people that I call and that will tell me, oh, yeah, I think you're awesome. Every decision you make is perfectly right. I want someone who will respectfully say, yeah, that's not the best. But you have to seek those people out. See, and this is why the Bible teaches us you got to be a lover of good men. You got to find the right kind of people. One of those old, what was it, Charlie Tremendous Jones or whatever, I think he was the one that said, you know, 5 years from now, you'll be who you are because of the friends you have and the books that you read and the people that you allow to influence you. And the Word of God, if you let God speak to you. Most of the time, it seems like as believers, when we're just carnal believers, we're going to God and we're just talking to Him, but we're not that interested in hearing what He's got to say back. But I'm telling you, if you will be alone with God long enough, you will hear Him talk to you, and you may not like what He has to say. He said something to me last night, and I didn't like what He had to say because I was in my heart I was dealing with a situation. It's just that He corrected me on something. And we all need correction from time to time. Nobody better than God to do that. Look, just a couple more. Proverbs 26:28. If people lie to you, that's not a sign of love. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh. What's the word there? Yeah, you might. Well, those people are just trying to help me, and they're trying to encourage me and tell me, no, a flattery mouth works ruin. That's what God said. Let another, here's Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. It's a sorry person when we have to toot our own horn. And we live in a culture where we call the proud happy. And we watch TV and all these really proud athletes all puffed up and proud politicians all puffed up and talking about themselves. These businessmen on some of these shows, and, you know, they got just the arrogance of it all and the I know what I'm doing, listen to me, I've got it all together. And if you've got to praise yourself, there's a major problem. You got a problem. Listen, if you're a Christian and you are having to toot your own horn about how great you are all the time, you've got a problem. And you need to talk to God about that. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. You're like, well, if I don't toot my horn, nobody will. If nobody else will toot your horn for you, probably aren't as good at that as you think you are.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I